archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first. And on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Again, welcome to the broadcast, the late show of AmericanExpose.com, and that's the website of the show that I do Tuesday through Thursday on First Amendment Radio, and certainly Tuesday and Thursday at 3 p.m. Central Time. I do 1 hour for Melody Cederstrom, the discount gold and silver trading hour. That's 3 to 4 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday and Thursday. And then on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time, the discount gold and silver trading hour continues at 7 p.m. On WWCR 9.985, the new frequency 9.985, 7 to 8 p.m. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. At 7 p.m. Central, I am there and here on First Amendment Radio. Just expanding in hopes that you will support Melody Cederstrom so I can continue. 800-375-4188, 800-375-4188. Melody Cederstrom, discount gold and silver trading. Imperative that you support her to support me, as I'm back to 3 hours on Tuesday and Thursday anyway. I'm prepared to do 4 hours Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And Darren does the broadcast on Monday and Friday, and I believe Darren has a daytime show now. I hope he's expanded to that direction. And Dennis, I hope to get on the air too, although he might be rather reluctant to do so. And I enjoy his work that he's doing on the website. So lots going on. I had Hansa Molina on at 7 o'clock tonight, Central Time. AntiCommunistAnalyst.com is his website. He will be back on next Wednesday night, Hansa Molina. And I looked at Major Sina's information here. He's a Soviet defector or Czechoslovakian defector. And I caught it in the middle of this dissertation, and I saved it from the last hour to cover it right now. And certainly we have a lot of ground to cover tonight in this hour. But I pick it up right in the middle of his dissertation. And he says, let's see. First, there was general nuclear war, which was the responsibility of the military. Even civilian construction projects had to be approved by the Defense Council to make certain they all contributed to the war effort. Second, there was the political and intelligence wars. The World Revolutionary War, as it was originally called, the war was also waged according to a very detailed and complex strategic plan. The war involved infiltration of the government and press, sabotage, subversion, deception, narcotics trafficking, organized crime, terrorism, compromise of political and business leaders, and many other activities, all designed to destroy competing social systems. The primary targets were all industrialized countries, and the most important enemy was the United States. I want to point out that in these and other activities, the Soviet ruled their empire with an iron hand. All directions and controls came from Moscow. People undertook independent actions at their own risk, and the penalties were without any regard for human rights or dignity. I know because I was there. In the 1950s and early 1960s, I was in charge of the Defense Council Secretariat. From 1964 on, I was the first secretary at the Ministry of Defense. In my various official capacities, I was constantly meeting with Soviet officials, receiving instructions, and relaying those instructions to various Czech agencies and departments. It was in the process of responding to Soviet direction in about 1956 that I first became aware of the use of American and South Korean POWs by Soviet and Czech doctors. I certainly would not pretend to know what happened to all the missing POWs, but I do know what happened to many of them. In brief, hundreds were used in Korea and Vietnam as human guinea pigs. At the beginning of the Korean War, we received instructions from Moscow to build a military hospital in North Korea. The advertised purpose of the hospital was to treat military casualties. But this was only a cover, a deception. The top secret purpose of the hospital was to experiment on American and South Korean POWs. The POWs were used as bodies for training military doctors in field medicine, for example, treating serious wounds and conducting amputations. The POWs were used to test the effects of chemical and biological warfare agents and to test the effects of atomic radiation. The Soviets also used the American GIs to test the physiological and psychological endurance of American soldiers. They were also used to test various mind control drugs. Amazing. Czechoslovakia also built a crematorium in North Korea to dispose of the bodies and parts after the experiments were conducted. The Americans and South Koreans were not the only humans used as guinea pigs. Thousands of prisoners within the Soviet Union and Czechoslovakia, too, were also used. The Americans and South Koreans were very important to the Soviet plans because they believed it was essential to understand the manner in which different drugs and chemical and biological warfare agents and radiation affected different races and people who had been brought up differently, for example, on their diets. Pretty amazing. I'll be right back. I continue with this dissertation by former Czechoslovakian defector, Mr. Sina, or Sheena. The Soviets also wanted to know whether there were differences in the abilities of soldiers from different countries to stand up to the stress of nuclear war and keep on fighting. The Soviets were deadly serious in their preparation for nuclear war and in their development of various drugs and chemicals that were to be used in the Revolutionary War. And this included detailed tests on the people from the various countries that were their enemies. Because America was the main enemy, American POWs were the most highly valued experimental subjects. At the end of the Korean War, there were about 100 POWs who were still considered useful for further experiments. I believe all others had been killed in the process of the experiments, because I do not recall ever reading any report that indicated that any of the POW patients at the hospital left the hospital alive, except the 100 that were still alive at the end of the war. These 100 were flown in four groups, first to Czechoslovakia, where they were given physical exams, and then on to the Soviet Union. I learned about all this from the Czech doctors who had run the hospital, from the Czech military intelligence officer in charge of the Czech operations in Korea, from Soviet advisors, and from official documentation I reviewed in the process of responding to a Soviet request for Czechoslovakia to send medical doctors to the Soviet Union to participate in various experiments being run on the POWs who had been transferred to the Soviet Union. I also reviewed reports on the results of autopsies of the POWs and received briefings on various aspects of the experiments. While what I have just said describes what happened in Korea, I want to point out that the same things happened in Vietnam and Laos during the Vietnam War. The only difference is the operation in Vietnam was better planned, and more American POWs were used, both in Vietnam and Laos and in the Soviet Union. On several occasions, my office was responsible for organizing the shipments of POWs and their housing in Prague before they were shipped to the Soviet Union. I personally was present when American POWs were unloaded from planes, put on buses whose windows had been painted black, and then driven to Prague, where they were placed in various military intelligence barracks and other secure buildings until they were shipped to the Soviet Union. Between 1961 and 1968, when I left Czechoslovakia, I would estimate at least 200 American POWs were shipped to the Soviet Union through Czechoslovakia. I believe there were others who were shipped to the Soviet Union through North Korea and East Germany. I also have no firsthand knowledge of those transfers. I know that many were given to the Chinese for experiments during the Korean War, and the Czech intelligence reported that the North Vietnamese also provided American POWs to Chinese. In closing, I want to emphasize that this operation was conducted at the highest level of secrecy. Information on this operation was labeled state secret, which was higher than top secret. And no one who did not have a real need to know was aware of the operation. When I was there, my estimate is that fewer than 15 people in all of Czechoslovakia were aware of the transfer of American POWs to the Soviet Union. I will never forget the written directions on the original Soviet order that stated the operation in 1951. It said that the operation was to be conducted in such a way that, quote, no one would ever know about it, end quote. I am only sorry that it has taken so long to find some people here in America who are interested in the Soviet operation designed to use American POWs. Thank you for the opportunity to tell you those things that I know happened. I would be happy to answer any questions, and certainly this is pretty tragic information. It was testimony of John Sheena, dated September 17, 1996, before the House Subcommittee on Military Personnel. And that's the use of POWs, and that's just the middle of it. I didn't start from the very, very beginning, but we have a lot of ground to cover tonight. And I'm certainly sorry that I have to give you this upsetting information. It's quite discouraging. AntiCommunistAnalyst.com. He's on our website at the bottom of the partner sites. Hansa Molina. He will be on next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central Time on First Amendment Radio and WWCR. And that is a blessing, to say the least. I see here dated today, June 1st, out of the Oklahoman, Musicians to Unite concerts. 20 years after the Live Aid concerts, musical superstars are joining in a five-city spectacular to push a political solution for African poverty. And isn't this just great? Quote, we don't want people's money, we want them, end quote. Bob Golduff, the driving force behind the Band-Aid and Live Aid campaigns, said Tuesday as he announced plans for Live 8 concerts July 2nd, just days before leaders of the world's richest countries, the G8, meet in Britain. Musicians including Madonna, Paul McCartney, U2, Bon Jovi, Brian Wilson, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Oh, boy, they're all there, people. Goldplay, Sting, Stevie Wonder, and Jay-Z will grace stages in London, Philadelphia, Berlin, Paris, and Rome. On the website, AmericanExplosé.com, it's there, too. Dennis has done a tremendous job of exposing this direction, and it's all there for you to peruse, people. And we see the Prince of Wales charity is to get $1.6 million from the Live 8 concert in London's Hyde Park after canceling his own pop show to make way for the event. The Prince's Trust agreed to scrap its annual party in the park, which was scheduled for July 2nd, when plans for a new Live 8 concert got underway. The money will come from text messages sent in the competition to win tickets. U2, Ram, Madonna, Goldplay will play at Hyde Park to raise pressure on world leaders to fight poverty in Africa. And isn't that just the setup of all time, listeners? That is the problem, listeners. Where did the poverty come from? The Hegelian dialectic rules and regulates our world today. To manipulate us into a one-world global society, to destroy the middle class, etc. Anyway, this information, Prince's Trust to get Live Aid cash, all very interesting. On the website, AmericanExplosé.com. Those leaders are manipulating us into certain directions to control and manipulate. and that is the way it is. A sad commentary to have today in this late date of 2005. Also, I wanted to cover something. Oh, where is that? Well, here I see in the paper, space projects get funding, officials say. NASA's new administrator and Texas Republican Tom DeLay said new Tuesday the space agency will have the necessary funding to implement President Bush's vision to send astronauts back to the moon and to Mars. Oh my God, is this just incredible. As we are struggling to survive in our country, as we have people in food lines, people that are one paycheck away from being on the streets, we're moving to the moon and the Mars. Quote, we have the money to do the good things, end quote, says Michael Griffin, who has visited at least seven of NASA's centers since he was appointed in April during a two-day visit at the home of human spaceflight. He spoke with astronauts, flight directors, and other top administrators. Griffin said the agency has received a steady flow of funding that, when adjusted for inflation, is comparable to the funding the agency had when it first sent astronauts to the moon during the Apollo program of the 1960s and early 1970s. And once again, did we really go to the moon? Embroiled in Vietnam, sons and fathers off to Vietnam to die, to be captured and to be used as guinea pigs for experimentation by the Soviet Union and Communist China. Today, our allies, our trading partners. And what is the number one current communist goal but U.S. acceptance of coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war? Number two, U.S. willingness to capitulate in preference to engaging in atomic war. Number three, develop the illusion that the total disarmament by the United States would be a demonstration of moral strength. And that's what we're in the middle of right now. Demilitarizing our country. So we're headed back to the moon and Mars, supposedly. Quote, you will find that NASA received as much in the last 16 years of its existence as in the first 16, he said. Quote, in my judgment, we can go to the moon. We can go to Mars. We can't do them quite as quickly as we did during Apollo, but we can do it, end quote. Does this guy really think we went to the moon? Did we really go to the moon? Are we really going to go to Mars? And once again, I refer to the Iron Mountain Report, Sid Tolbert's statements, 45-minute statement regarding the Iron Mountain Report. His dissertation is on the website, AmericanExpose.com. Everyone should hear what Sid Tolbert has to say about the Iron Mountain Report. Unreachable goals. Funding unreachable goals. This article, Space Projects to Get Funding, officials say, says NASA's shuttle fleet has been grounded since 2003 with a large chunk of foam insulation broke off Columbia's fuel tank during launch and gashed the left wing, dooming the spacecraft and its crew during reentry. All seven astronauts were killed. Well, was that really the reason why it happened? Why wouldn't have the spacecraft blown up on the way up to space? And, you know, how do you get to the bottom of that? With an Israeli on board, and evidently the plane imploded over Palestine, Texas. I remember that very, very well. Highly ironic. So we see these articles, the funding for the moon projects, the funding for going to Mars, and yet I see here from the UPI dated April 6, 2005, the Bush administration is advocating the weaponization of space to sustain the global dominance of the U.S. military. Well, the aggressive new policy aimed at making U.S. satellites capable of striking enemy targets both on the ground and in orbit may be scuttled by controversy or prohibited by cost. Elements within the White House and the Pentagon will continue to stress the military's increasing dependence on satellite technology and the dangers associated with sharing more and more outer space real estate with other nations not always in sync with U.S. interests, the Christian Science Monitor reported. Now, this is all very interesting, as our military is the military for the U.N. system. So when we weaponize weapons in space, we're doing it for the U.N. system, not this country's sovereignty. And that's the thing that people have to get over and they have to research through, is the fact that we are the U.N. system. A very logical way to look at it is that we're using money from the Federal Reserve System, money created by the Federal Reserve System long before we even existed, printing it out of thin air. The Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. Governor of the International Monetary Fund. Henceforth, our Treasury is transferred to the IMF of the United Nations. That is something that is written in stone and cannot be changed. That's why I stress so much about this on a constant basis when everybody goes off on these different tangents, and I can't blame them for going off on different tangents and directions. But my concern is immediate. My concern is obvious. My concern is genuine. And I see here from Ray Ellen Allen, water wars coming soon to a faucet near you. Control of water. Control people. World Bank, World TR policy. This was done way back in 2000. In 1993, the World Bank published a policy paper titled Water Resources Management. The intent of the paper, or the water management laid out in the policy paper, is to gain control of humanity by gaining control of the water. And this is the situation we're embroiled in today, people. As we're moving towards space, publicly, the control of resources is well underway. The following analysis of the World Bank's policy paper was written by a friend of Rumor Mill News. This is the first time it has been released on the Internet. And once again, the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, which was originally set up to rebuild Europe after the devastation of World War II. Why does the World Bank have its hands on everybody's business and personal life around the world? Keep in mind, the Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. Governor of the World Bank as well as the IMF. The World Bank is the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development. Remember George Orwell's warning when reading any document. You can read people's intentions by their use of the language. If the words are so long and fuzzy that we cannot understand what is being said, or if we can surmise that they are saying nothing at all, we can be fairly some the speaker is trying to swindle us. In other words, we can fairly surmise that the speaker is trying to swindle us. The international elitists are calling for what they say is a new approach to how they manage your water. In fact, their plan calls for managing your water, your land, and you. The World Bank claims that their overall objective is to reduce poverty. Now, that's very interesting. Why is the World Bank involved in social engineering? Now, this is the point of these concerts. The devastation in Africa. The weather control, weather modification. The mess in place. And my gosh, the half hour is already over. I can't even believe this. Oh, time flies when you're having such a good time. And I'm really not. I just know the situation is so dire that we've got to do the best we can to wake up our brethren in this country and the rest of the world. The human race is under attack, has been for many years.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at firstamendmentradio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at firstamendmentradio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on firstamendmentradio.com are listener-supported. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at firstamendmentradio.com.
Most Americans want our government to control our borders, especially since 9/11. But amazingly, some political leaders want to do away with borders entirely, whether the American people agree or not. And they have a serious plan for accomplishing their aims while deceiving the public. It's called the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA, a huge power grab. If Congress approves the FTAA, our nation will be pushed down the same path that produced the European Union. There will be no more illegal immigration because there will be no enforcement of borders. Americans will lose control of their destiny as regional bureaucrats from corrupt political systems decide our future. Sound incredible? Check out the facts for yourself. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then tell Congress you want a better future for America. That's stoptheftaa.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner, and we continue to support Melody Cederstrom at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Melody Cederstrom needs our support, or I need Melody's support. Put it that way. I need Melody Cederstrom's support to continue as the network needs it as well. So support Melody Cederstrom at 800-375-4188. Have her put together a package for you. So where did we go with this broadcast? And certainly there's much information that Dennis has put together on the website, and I certainly see superlative information on our website, and I'm very happy to make those announcements on a constant basis these days. But space projects getting funding, officials say. They're planning on going back to the moon and Mars, and yet the U.S. military wants weapons in space, and this is dated April 6, 2005. Then I got off on a tangent on the World Bank's water policy report, and because here we're dealing with these expenditures to weaponize space, and yet water is becoming the precious commodity today because of the Hegelian dialectic.
Hello?
Yeah, who's this?
Hey, this is Rodney calling for the California Police Activities League. How are you doing today?
Fine, Rodney. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. And the reason for this recorded call is to inform you that the Police Activities League is reaching out to the community to help build the bond between cops and kids. And most importantly, your support will help keep more than 300,000 at-risk children in year-round athletic, recreational, and educational
programs. Is this
programs.
A phone call?
What's that?
Do you know you're on a radio show? Did you know that I'm doing a radio broadcast? Rodney? Oh, brother. That was ironic. Anyway, where was I? I'm all around the place, but keep in mind that there's funding for projects to go to the moon and Mars, and yet the creation of the Hegelian dialectic to control water is well underway. I'm going to cover this policy report in its entirety tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central Time on First Amendment Radio and WBCQ 7.415 at 3 p.m. Central Time. It says here the World Bank claims that their overall objective is to reduce poverty. Now that's very interesting. Why is the World Bank involved in social engineering? In fact, all of the World Bank programs are involved in redistribution of land, resources, and wealth. It would appear that the wonderful folks at the World Bank are ignoring the truism. Give a man a fish and feed him for a day. Teach him how to fish, and he will learn to feed himself. Of course, if their real objective is to starve us all, they're on the right track also. Land starvation, resources starvation, and wealth starvation. Who does the World Bank blame for all this poverty and starvation? Why, all the current governments, of course. The World Bank specifically points out the total mismanagement of water by all the governments, explaining, of course, that the bank is destined to be the savior of the water. All the water, everywhere. The World Bank will use estimated opportunity costs, EOC, to set the price for water. The World Bank defines EOC as, quote, the value of goods or services foregone, including goods and services, when a scarce resource is used for one purpose instead of for its next best alternative use, end quote. How's that for a mouthful of fuzzy words? Heed George Orwell's warning. The World Bank claims that all the current governments have the following faults. 1. Misallocate and waste water. 2. Permit damage to the environment due to weak and distorted policies. 3. Neglect financial accountability. Neglect user participation. Charge too low a price for water. Ineffective delivery of water to users, especially the poor. Operate under centralized structure. The World Bank then makes the following proclamations. Water is essential for life. Now there's a bold statement of the obvious. Water has an economic value and is recognized as an economic good. Water is a scarce natural resource. I believe the old saying is, figures don't lie, but liars figure. Get ready for all kind of fees regarding water, especially since the World Bank will be certain to charge a high enough proper price for water. This is quite an extensive dissertation of the World Bank Water Policy Report. I will cover it tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central Time on First Amendment Radio and WBCQ. Back to this situation with the space projects and the weaponizing of space. Highly ironic that we're ready to go to the moon and Mars, and yet we're ready to weaponize space. Is there a correlation between the funding for weaponizing space and going to the moon and Mars? Is that the excuse to weaponize space? Is space already weaponized? Anyway, this information from the UPI dated April 6th, quote, because we depend so heavily on space capabilities, we must be prepared and directed to confront adversaries on the high ground of space, end quote, former Air Force Secretary Peter Teets told Congress in March, quote, if diplomatic or non-lethal measures fail, we reserve the right under international law to take defensive action against an adversary's space capability, end quote. With nations like China and Russia actively pursuing treaties that would outlaw the deployment of space-based weapons, analysts say, cosmic battlefields will only flourish in the present if the president extends his policy of preemptive military action to the heavens. Quote, they will go there if we go there, in quotes, says Teresa Hutchins of the Center for Defense Information in Washington. Quote, if somebody else did go first, we could go second very quickly and probably better. Interesting. I look in the paper, dated Friday, May 20th. And here we see, out of the United Nations, a Zionist group Thursday warned the United States against weaponizing space, saying the move would be prohibitively expensive and could set off a new arms race. The Union of Concerned Zionists, a watchdog group that opposes weapons in space, said the United Nations should consider drafting a treaty that would prohibit interfering with unarmed satellites, taking away any justification for putting weapons in space to protect them. Interesting. And then I see here from WorldNet Daily, Russia threatens force if U.S. militarizes space. This is dated May 20th of this year, very, very recent information. A senior Russian embassy official is threatening to use force, if necessary, to prevent the U.S. from deploying combat weapons in space. Vladimir Yermashkov, senior counselor at the Russian embassy in Washington, said his country is urging the U.S. through diplomatic channels against any plans for space militarization. But he told the space conference Russia would have to react possibly with force if the U.S. successfully put a combat weapon in space. Do they have a combat weapon in space? Do we have a combat weapon in space? What is the purpose of the International Space Station? What was the purpose of the Mir space station that was so successful for so many years? Very, very interesting. But the fact of the matter is, the space project, to get funding, officials say, when billions of dollars are being spent in the Middle East and all over the globe. And yet, as I covered last night on one of the broadcasts, Charlotte Isabey's directions of the base closures and what they're part of State Department publication 7277. Here I see dated Saturday, May 28th, Bush defends closing unnecessary bases, speaking out for the first time in favor of controversial base closings. President Bush said Friday, the nation is wasting billions of dollars on unnecessary military facilities and needs the money for war on the war on terrorism, listeners. That's what he says. And what is he doing? He's following right along State Department publication 7277 from 1961, right along those lines of reducing our military for the UN system. And that is the point in the problem here. Our military is working for the UN system. Our military represents the UN system. Our military is the UN system. And so you have the Hegelian dialectic wrapped up into all these different directions. And it's very, very ironic that we have these circumstances today, that it's very easy to see through the cloak and the mirrors of all these deceptions that are being moved upon us. Now, this information about Bush defense closing unnecessary bases, who faces opposition from many states to shutting down bases, tried to be reassuring. He said the bases would be chosen fairly and the government would do all it could to help affected communities recover. Absolutely amazing. Where did the word communities come from? Communism. Amazing. When you connect these dots, when you see how the circumstances are so well entrenched in our society today, where we are reducing our military strength, we have our military in 135 countries, and we have no one to protect us here but FEMA. So these situations are very easy to chronicle. And the fact that this article in the paper dated Wednesday, June 1st, today, quote, you'll find that NASA received as much in the last 16 years of its existence as in the first 16. In my judgment, we can go to the moon, we can go to Mars, we can't do them quite as quickly as we did during Apollo, but we can do it. And this is a statement of Michael Griffin. And certainly is this helping to fund the weaponization for space, which will ultimately be our direction through the UN system to have the one world totalitarian governmental system in place. In the meantime, United Nations, the UN Secretary, Security Council, has for the first time condemned sexual abuse among peacekeepers. It issued the condemnation after being told UN members ignored such exploitation for decades, fearing exposure of their own soldiers' wrongdoing. The United Nations has accused peacekeepers and civilian staff in the Democratic Republic of Congo of rape, pedophilia, and enticing hungry children with food or money in exchange for sex. Sexual abuse on a smaller scale was discovered in other missions. A U.S. drafted statement read at a formal meeting urged all nations to adopt recent proposals by a U.N. inquiry to end and prevent sexual abuse. But it says the country's contributing troops have primary responsibility for conduct of their soldiers. Is this not pathetic and sick and regurgitatory information? This comes from the New Zealand Herald, listeners. The New Zealand Herald. Quote, the Security Council condemns in the strongest terms all acts of sexual abuse and exploitation committed by UN peacekeepers personnel, the Council statement said. Continue quoting, the distinguished and honorable record of accomplishment in UN peacekeeping is being tarnished by the acts of a few individuals, end quote. How ridiculous is this? You know, and I keep going back to our involvement in Korea. A United Nations mission. A United Nations command mission right now. The Vietnam War was a war under the CETO Treaty, the Southeast Asia Treaty Organization. A UN document. A UN direction. A UN implemented war. And boy, I'll tell you, for us to be so stupid to accept what we're being told, and yet atrocities by UN peacekeepers is the history of the United Nations. It's the history of the United Nations. So that is the way it is, listeners. I'm so sorry that we are so dumbed down to accept this. UN condemns sexual abuse by peacekeepers. Then I see over here, dated April 14th of 2005, where we've talked about this food aid. And here we see UN video game makes hunger point. A video game which aims to teach children about global hunger has been released by the United Nations. Food Force is the brainchild of the World Food Program, the WFP, which last year fed more than 100 million people. Interesting. The UN body seeks to capitalize on the popularity of video games to educate youngsters about hunger and the work of the aid agency. The Hegelian dialectic reeks about this one, listeners. Written for the PC and Mac, the free game is aimed at 8 to 13-year-olds for download at www.food-force.com. Dennis, that's food-force.com. FOOD-FORCE.com. Neil Gallagher, WEP's director of communications, said, quote, children in the developed world don't know what it's like to go to bed threatened by starvation. In an exciting and dynamic form, Food Force will generate kids' interest and understanding about hunger, which kills more people than AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis combined, end quote. Keep in mind, kids are the offspring of goats and sheep. They are children, not kids. Food Force was developed by Deep End. That's Deep End, a computer design studio based in Rome, and game developers Player 3 in London. The challenge for players is to complete a series of missions guided by a team of WFP characters. There are six missions, each beginning with a briefing by one of the Food Force characters who explains the challenge ahead. The player then has to complete the task, in which points are awarded for the fast and accurate play and good decision-making. The missions range from dropping food parcels from the air to a Sim City-type game in which players use food aid to rebuild the country's economy. At the end of each mission, players are shown a short video explaining how the aid agency would have dealt with the situation. Children can also compare their scores with other players across the world on the Food Force website. The game will be available first in English with translation into other languages planned. Isn't that ironic? Brainwashing our young to accept what's on the horizon in the future, what's going on right now, what's happening right this very, very minute. The Hegelian dialectic to bring about justification for the United Nations system, of which we are the major player. We are the major player in all this. So I see from the United Nations as well, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan fired a staffer for manipulating contracts under the Iraq Oil for Food program. And is he covering his own behind, listeners? The first dismissal to result from a UN-backed probe of the $64 billion humanitarian operation. Joseph Stepanidis, a Cypriot diplomat and longtime UN staffer, was dismissed over accusations that he tainted the competitive bidding process for a company to inspect humanitarian goods entering Iraq under Oil for Food. Reached by the Associated Press after the announcement was made, Stepanidis rejected the charges and vowed to appeal. I'm very disappointed by the decision. The Oil for Food program, established to help ordinary Iraqis suffering from UN sanctions imposed after Saddam Hussein's 1990 invasion of Kuwait, is the target of several corruption investigations as it has become a lightning rod for critics of the United Nations. And certainly that is just the tip of the iceberg of the United Nations, and the American people are very, very upset about the United Nations system. It's just that we can't get out of it, but it can be done by the states. An independent UN appointment inquiry led by former U.S. Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker first detailed the allegations against Stepanidis in an interim report released in February. When the report came out, senior UN officials promised to punish anyone found guilty of wrongdoing. Well, naturally, they're under the gun. They're under the fire. They're being maneuvered and manipulated into doing the right thing. Now, this is all very, very interesting information that we have for you on the website. And certainly the elite, the draft, and the PNAC by Nancy Levant. Project for the New American Century is another nonprofit. I strongly advise all citizens to go to the PNAC website, and it's available on our website and Jackie Petrou's website, thanks to Darren Weeks. www.newamericancentury.org. And to investigate the site thoroughly, groups like PNAC are small, semi-secret little societies which operate openly, though quietly and largely undetected. It is another partnership, stakeholder, think tank, bureaucracy that serves the larger master, or in PNAC's case, our government. Most of these groups are also chock full of powerful shakers, but primarily so for PNAC. For the first two paragraphs of the letter to Congress dated January 28, 2005, PNAC stated, quote, Dear Senator Frist, Senator Reid, Senator Hassert, and Representative Pelosi, the United States military is too small for the responsibilities we are asking it to assume. Those responsibilities are real and important, but they are not going away. The United States will not and should not become less engaged in the world in the years to come, but our national security, global peace and stability, and the defense and promotion of freedom in the post-9/11 world require a larger military force than we have today. The administration has unfortunately resisted increasing our ground forces to the size needed to meet today's missions and challenges, and certainly that is part of the State Department's direction, as I interject. So we write to ask you and your colleagues in the legislative branch to take the steps necessary to increase substantially the size of the active duty Army and Marine Corps. While estimates vary about just how large an increase is required, Congress will make its own determination as to size and structure. It is our judgment that we should aim for the increase of the active duty Army and Marine Corps, together of at least 25,000 troops each year over the next several years. And certainly, I don't think that's going to happen, listeners. This article continues, 4 months later, women are now most assuredly going to be draft-eligible combat soldiers. Military recruiters have landed in all American high schools with executive-ordered rights to student files and their addresses and phone numbers. The draft is looming, and war is to continue unabated, as is specifically documented by the PNAC. War will continue. New theaters are designed as we speak. And America will be the world's primary security force, with American soldiers as global servants, or in truthful words, peacekeepers. In truthful words that our partnering rulers will never tell you, American soldiers become UN commandos, while America becomes an unguarded through totally policed state. FEMA, Homeland Security, FBI, CIA, Real ID, RFID, mental health screening, human settlements, food, water, and energy control, human shipping, lowered and lowered standards of living, and echo spying philosophies taught to school children to serve stakeholding security and land theft details. Welcome to the new world. Welcome to an American, or America without its military sworn to uphold our Constitution. Welcome to mandatory military service, which is just around the corner. And welcome to population control via women on the front lines and mental health screening. And not one of us had a vote or a say of any kind regarding any of these nation-altering changes. This information is on the website, AmericanExpose.com. It's a sad commentary to have. And on the website, you can read the PNAC report proving the war on terror was planned before September 11th. The Middle East mess is created. Gulf War I never ended. And for what reason was it left unfinished? That is the first entry in the agenda on the website, AmericanExpose.com, which I'm proud to say I have nothing to do with. I have nothing to do with it, listeners. And it's so nice that that's the way it is. So nice. Just about out of time. So tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central, I will cover this World Bank policy, a water policy report, and I'll try to give more information about what we have and certainly connect these certain dots. The regarding of this Live 8 concert, there's much information on the website about this. Crude oil jumps, and here I say in the paper dated yesterday, Tuesday, doomsday in forecast as oil dies. Is this a fact? Isn't oil a renewable resource, listeners? According to many, it is. Could the petroleum joyride, cheap, abundant oil that has sent the global economy whizzing along with the pedal to the metal and the AC blasting for decades, be coming to an end? Some observers from the oil industry think so. Well, it's all a scenario. It's all the Hegelian dialect. It's all about human control and reduction of the population of the world. Tomorrow at 3 p.m., I'll be back. 3 p.m. Central Time. San Marcos working with wildlife agencies to create a preservation plan. Wildlife Now, Endangered Species, Safe Hands in a Wild World. Fabulous information.